The following program is rated TV-MAL. It contains strong language and is intended only for mature audiences.
TBS, America's number one independent television network, presents the following sports exclusive.
You're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports.
Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.
And check out every episode of the show at basicallysports.tumblr.com.
Now here's your hosts, Zach,
Greg,
Mike,
and this is Andy, and you're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Here we are, minus Zach. So it's going to be a good show. We've only got three of us to start. Nice work, guys.
Hey.
Well, all right.
He's hiding in humiliation at the moment.
as Greg and I discussed before the show started, Zach is probably really thinking about just taking it all in. You know, it's been a rough, rough 24 hours for him. Now, I question, though, and we can obviously go over this with him when he jumps in, but who do you think has it worse? Rams fans for being ashamed to be the one that lost to the Jets, or Jets fans for screwing themselves out of the number one pick?
Definitely Jets fans, without question.
I don't know. Rams fans, I mean, the Rams might not even make the playoffs if this loss.
There's Zach.
Ah, there he is.
He showed up. Nice.
Yeah,
I was running a little late, so I didn't have time to find a demoralizing Ram avatar. So
that's okay.
We'll try to emphasize the penis on this one's face, I guess.
Well, Zach, if it's any consolation, from what I saw of the internet last night, as the NFL world was in flames, the Jets all appear to be about to perform ritualistic suicide because of what happened. So probably nobody is more disappointed that they won than them. So take that for what it is.
Yeah, I guess.
You don't care, do you?
Well, I did find it funny that right, like the Rams are actually somehow getting off unscathed in this because all the football is more focused on, oh no, the Jets did it again. But if I may, for a minute here.
Please.
Okay. I'm trying to think of where to start. Because here's the problem. There's not one single thing to point out and be like, that is what they lost the game over. Because they were terrible. They were embarrassing. The offense was ineffective. Receivers couldn't catch. Jared Goff was flustered. The running game evaporated out of nowhere. They took incomprehensible penalties. And so, yes, all of that. And it was a terrible game. However, because they were playing these goddamn Jets, there was still an opportunity to get this game at the end of it. And so, while in a perfect world they would have been up 20 and not worrying about any of this, the Rams still got into a position where, with 3 minutes left, they had an opportunity to tie the game or take the lead. And so you're down 23-20. It's third and four at the Jets, I don't know, like 35, something like that. You're in field goal range. You know, so if you can either make the decision, we don't want to lose the goddamn Jets, we're going to go for it on fourth down no matter what, which if you do, then you have two plays to go four whole yards, or you say, we're going to try for it here on third, and if we don't get it, we're just going to kick the field goal, tie it, and we can extend our opportunity to try and win this game because it is the New York Jets on the other side. We still might get another shot at winning this thing. So third and four, let's throw a ball 30 yards in the air down the left sideline to the running back. missed opportunity. All right, fine. Fourth and four. It's like, all right, fourth and four, you just get the 4 yards and we can keep moving. We can go win this game maybe. Or you can just kick the field goal and tie it. But no, you're going to go for it. fine. I don't hate going for it on fourth down. I actually encourage you to go for it on fourth down when you can. But you just need to get the 4 yards. So let's drop back and throw the ball 30 yards in the air down the right sideline to our tight end, who's covered by the number one cornerback who already has an interception in this game. Oh, you didn't even, you know, touch the guy on the pass? Okay. So we're now down 23-20 with no timeouts, and the Jets just need a first down. Good job, guys. It was a brain fart by McVay at the end, and again, McVay is a genius, supposedly, and the Rams are supposed to be so much better in the second half, and they were. But when it counted the most, Sean McVay outthought himself again. And when it counted the most, Jared Goff didn't execute again. And this team that has all the talent in the world to be the best team in the NFC, to be a Super Bowl contending team, can also put out an effort like this where they can get beat by this woeful Jets team at home. When we saw the Jets collapse to the Raiders, it's like, oh, that's a backbreaker. And when it plays out the next week where they lose by friggin' 30 to the Seahawks, you say, oh, that's a team that's giving up, clearly. That's a team that's packing it in. There is no excuse for what the Rams put out on Sunday. It's just absolutely inexcusable. And good for them that nobody's going to focus on them this week, because everyone's either dancing on the Jets' grave or lamenting the Jets or whatever you want to do. Awful. Just absolutely awful. And I don't know. It's one of those teams that has the talent, but I don't know if I can trust them to pull through in the end ever again.
To me, it seems like the Rams are really good at playing down to their competition.
Oh, yeah, 100%, because they did nearly the same thing earlier this year when they played the Giants at home, where they blew out some team the week before, and then they come home to play the Giants, and it was like 10-3 Giants at halftime, kind of the same thing as this Jets game. And the Rams ended up winning it, but it was like, what the hell is going on?
The Jets made the biggest mistake possible, and that they tried. They were trying, and you know, for a coach as terrible as Adam Gase, you'd think the team, and I think there already were reports floating around about this, that the team would have just packed it in by this point. You got nothing to play for.
Right.
There's no
That's
extra
what it looked like last week, right?
Yeah, there's no extra playoff game check coming. There's probably maybe a handful of incentive stuff coming up. But, like, Frank Gore is out there balling out. Like, it's his – like, he's on his dying breath of football and, like, giving it everything he's got. And if I'm
– Quinn Williams was a force for them on the D-line. He was really good in that game for, you know, inexplicable reasons, as you're saying.
And Adam Gase – or, I'm sorry, the Rams coach, Sean McVay, he was, like, falling on the sword after the game – like pretty bad. He
does that every time they lose. It was literally the same quote that he's given every time they lose. I need to be better, and I need to be better about getting our team ready for these games. It's like, okay, Sean, but you know, maybe talk specifics. Don't just like this blanket statement doesn't. If you're gonna say this every single time you lose, it's gonna start ringing extremely hollow, and that's what it did to me.
I mean, because
I was interested to see like what would happen when they asked him about those specific plays. And he kind of brushed him off and said, yeah, I just need to be better, and we all need to be better at preparing. Like,
I have a question. Did on the 30-yard pass plays, do you think McVay called those, or do you think that maybe Goff audible to those plays?
No.
Goff doesn't do a goddamn thing without McVay's say-so.
No, yeah, because McVay's pretty much in his ear until he's not allowed to be. According to what McVay said, those were the plays that he called.
Well, that was just stupid.
Right, and he's like, we got the exact look we wanted, and we didn't execute. And in his words, they had the long pass down the side, and you had an underneath route to Cooper Kupp. So it's stupid of McVay to call that, because I think like if you know you're going to go for it on fourth down, don't chuck it. Don't have passing plays where you can possibly chuck it 30 yards. But on the other hand, if you're calling these plays knowing that there's other options, and Jared Goff is the one taking the bad options, then that's on Goff too. It's on both. Like, it's bad on McVay to not like communicate that, hey, don't worry about going deep. Just get the first down. We can worry about that in another 30 seconds. And it's bad on Goff for not realizing the situation and taking what was available to him instead of forcing it 30 yards downfield to nobody.
I'm sorry, Mike, real quick. Let me get this up before I forget. If you're third and a half a yard, sure, why not take a shot on third down? Because you got fourth down to get your half a yard. But at 4 yards, you don't do that. Go ahead, Mike. Sorry.
I was just going to say, I think, you know, Zach, you mentioned this. Sean McVay has a history of outthinking himself. And I think that's kind of what, you know, needs to be addressed here. And I don't know if it's as simple as, you know, I know he's supposed to be the offensive guru, but maybe they need someone, they need an offensive coordinator who has more of a say in things, because he is clearly too smart for his own good in some cases.
Yeah. Well, in like on the previous drive, they had a 25-yard touchdown run that got called back.
Yeah.
And that's why they ended up – like if there's no holding on that play, then you end up with the touchdown and you kick the extra point and you have the lead all of a sudden and everything's fine. So it's just kind of – it's strange to me that like you're running the ball fairly well now at this point in the game. It wasn't there early, but you found something there. And you're even on that drive, they were getting some 5-6 yard pops. Like they were moving the ball and then they just decided to take the game out of their own hands. It was so weird because – and this is something that happens with the Rams too. They are a talented offense. Sean McVay is a talented coordinator and all that sort of stuff. But when they get in the red zone, they're not nearly as efficient as they are from like 40 yards out. Which is, you would think it would, if you're this good at offense, you should be able to score when you get close to the goal line. But like when they're anywhere inside like 20 yards, the game, they start thinking the game completely differently than they did. Up until we got to that point.
Is it possible that McVay is the type of offensive mind that thrives with the quote-unquote big play, but when you get inside the 20, when you've got to play when you've got to play kind of a condensed form of football, you've got to rely more on running the ball. You can't just throw it out. Maybe he struggles.
No, see, what I think the way that they've designed this offense is like, yes, there are big plays there, but they aren't big plays like – that's the thing that's weird about these giant throws down the field. That's not how they've been operating this year. The Rams' big plays, like if you look at all the inside stats and whatever, Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods lead the team in receiving yards by a large margin. But I would say at minimum a third, probably more like half of their receiving yards, quote unquote, are yards after the catch.
Mm-hmm.
Because consistently Jared Goff is in like the bottom third of total air yards. Like the amount of time that the ball is in the air every week, despite racking up, you know, 300, 400 yards of offense. The Rams like to do those screens out to the right and left. They do these short routes where they do screens where they set up the blockers and that opens up seams for these bigger plays to get down the field. And so you would think that maybe they could thrive in close like that. But I think it's a situation where the field gets smaller. So everyone's a little bit more packed in and there's not that space to work with. To kind of free up guys, so maybe that's it. Maybe it's McVay thinking too much. I'm not smart enough in the like. I know enough about X's and O's, but I can't like break down exactly what the issue is. I just know that like they make some odd decisions because even for somebody like me that isn't at the acumen of a Sean McVay, I can see that, and seemingly everybody else on Twitter and all the beat writers can all see it and say what. What was that? And maybe this is – like I was texting you guys during the game. Even if the Rams had won, you throw this out. Maybe this is just a game where everything was bad and you can't – even when you have a rough game, you're never going to have a game as bad as this one. So just throw it in the trash and move on to Seattle next week. And try to be better.
And this is the any given Sunday game. You know, I mean, this is, you know, that's the way it goes sometimes.
Well, you knew the Jets are going to accidentally screw up and win one somewhere. I just didn't think it would be this one.
We didn't, though, because they weren't – I guess it is odd because this is another game where the Jets scored first, which they've scored first in, like, 8 out of their 14 games so far.
Yeah, it's a team record, I think.
Yeah. Which is so strange.
Yeah.
And even in this game was different because normally they get like a field goal. In this one, they open up with a touchdown. And they opened up the first drive of the second half with a touchdown, too.
Well, there you're in trouble right there.
Right. Well, it's in it, again, the Jets weren't particularly efficient on offense. Darnold only threw for – it was like 22 of 31 for 200 and one touchdown throw. And then what it really was the Jets' defensive front kind of getting Goff off balance. And, you know, if he can't – I do think Goff is a good passing talent, but when he's not comfortable, he is not – nearly as effective.
I heard him described today as he looked like he was a deer on ice skates during that game.
Yeah. And it's weird because it's weird to say that he's not better when he's like standing in the pocket. He's actually best when he's rolling out on plays. But when he is forced out, you know, off his timing, that's when he starts to get a little squirrel.
But I mean, we've known that there have been problems with Jared Goff for a while. So, yeah. Like, is this a case where eventually we have to go, is he good or not?
Yeah, it's a hard question because he's talented, but like, he's talented when he's unencumbered. He's not a Russell Wilson.
He's so, Hollywood Trubisky.
Oh God!
He's better than Mitch Trubisky by a good chunk, I think.
But Are we sure?
But it's the same concept. I get what you're saying. We're like, he's not Patrick Mahomes. He's not Russell Wilson. He's not even like Deshaun Watson, where they can they're flushed out. They can get flushed out of the pocket and still create. Where Jared needs to be under control to throw.
And Teddy Bridgewater.
I was going to go along the lines of like who's a decent middle of the pack quarterback. He's a younger Ryan Tannehill is the way I see him. He's a little bit better than Tannehill, but I got to be honest with you.
I think Tannehill's better.
Ryan Tannehill's having a career resurgence.
Well, you know what I mean? What I mean is from an athletic standpoint. You can't. I mean, but who is Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson? Right. You know,
I thought you said Ronald Tannehill. I'm thinking more like
maybe like a poor man's Matt Ryan, if that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense. Actually, I could go with that.
Matt Ryan can throw the ball downfield at least, but Goff never really unleashes it. They did a little bit more when they had Todd Gurley, and they had just too many options to know what to do with.
Yeah, but Sean McVay seemed like really adverse to running the ball of Todd Gurley, which was weird.
But Todd Gurley was so – the threat of him running was still there. Whereas now they're kind of doing the running back by committee thing, so you can't just like – if you back off the Rams running game, you can still do okay. Whereas if you backed off the Rams with Todd Gurley, they said, okay, fine, we'll run with Todd Gurley.
Where does this leave the Rams in the playoff picture now?
They're second in the division. They're the fifth seed, right?
They have like all the tiebreakers. They have like a 98%
The Rams are making the playoffs. They just need one. Yeah. Like if they had beaten the Jets, they would have clinched the playoff spot. So that's not the problem.
It's more of a black eye, you know, to your because again, yeah, if I was in a position of Zach, like if the Bears were in this position and they lost to the Jets, like it'd be one of those things to where it forces you to kind of take perspective of like. Guys, I thought we were like a championship tier team, you know, like when we pull this bullshit, like it's humbling, but it's also, it's not so much we'll get him next time type thing. It's a like, whoa, is this all an illusion? You know, are we just kind of going by the seat of our pants here?
Well, I will say this, Zach, you got my boys off the hook for next week. So thanks for that, because that's who the Browns play next is the Jets. And there's no way the Jets win another game, right? I mean, you gotta. And speaking of you being in this situation, Andy, you've got the Jacksonville Jaguars next week.
Yeah, well, I mean, the big debate is whether or not the Jags are going to be dumb enough to win next week. You know, or any they've been gifted this. This thing is fucking golden. They've been handed Trevor Lawrence on a fucking silver platter, and then they're just they'll just do a whole barn full of meth down there in Florida and just somehow win one of the next few games. But I don't know if you could throw it up there, Greg. I got this interesting. I had no idea that he was a Jets fan, Jim Nance. So Jim Nance is really pissed off by this game break.
Jets up by three, needing a first down to put the game away, and Sam Darnold throws it to the ageless wonder, Frank Gore. Jets finally win a game. J-E-T-S. They are now 1-13. They win the game 23-20. Back to you guys.
Well, I love the chant. Thank you, Nate. But I can tell you that Jets fans are not wanting to join you in unison. Look, we mentioned it earlier. I've just got
You're a Jets on. Fan. You gotta, oh,
my friends
you gotta wanna
saying,
win, right?
I'm a true Jets fan, and I'm praying they lose. No, we're not rooting for the
– So, like, he was you know, the entire fandom – You know, I feel like there's plenty of teams throughout sports that either are currently or have been in some form of hell, to where there's just no hope. There's very little you're hanging your hat on, and all you have is that hope that, you know, by losing and suffering and going through all this shit, that you get that generational player that's there. You get your Sidney Crosby or whatever, you know, and then this happens, to where the Jags, who just kind of are floating around Fuckville and have no rhyme or reason for doing anything. They just sort of exist. And here are the Jets, like, on a clear plan to tumble ever downward into the abyss of the number one pick. And instead, they win, and now Jacksonville is just – they've got it. And the Bears going up against Jacksonville this weekend is only interesting in that I think there's a lot of people – you rarely see teams – root so heavily for their own team to lose. And the Jets, like, the Jets subreddit right now is vicious. They have entire threads destroying Sean McVay for, like, blowing that game and, like, hating and suffering and like, posturing on how, like, the Pauly Sewell will look in a Jets uniform. They've already given up and realized they're going to get the number two pick.
Like, but okay, so I understand why Jets fans feel this way, but let's look at this from a broader football perspective. Do we really want the Jets having the number one pick?
Well, no, because it's funny.
Well, no, right. But I'm saying, like, they're going to ruin Lawrence, right? Like,
probably. I mean,
well, the thing is, like, Sam Darnold's not a bad quarterback. He really isn't. He's just been in a terrible situation with the Jets, and he's had some injury problems, but, like, he's a good, kid, a good head on his shoulders and all that, but, like, yeah, well, right. But I think, yeah, I guess that's the question is, would Trevor Lawrence have come in and actually fixed the Jets?
Well, he's not gonna fix the Jets, and I'll tell you why. Because you're right, Zach. Sam Darnold is a talented, you know, quarterback. But the problem is that he's a young quarterback and he needs a good coach. And unfortunately, he's got Adam Gase. Yeah. And,
like,
you know,
Sam Darnold's 23 years old. Like,
he's not washed up by any definition.
I feel bad for him because, like, if he gets replaced by whoever they pick in the draft, whether it was going to be Lawrence or maybe now it's Justin Fields, who knows? But, like, he's going to get thrown out of New York. And he's going to have to find some sort of, like, Ryan Tannehill road to redemption.
But the thing is, though, that, you know, when you know, Trevor Lawrence, you know, again, like, assuming the Jets had not, you know, fucked it all up, if he had gone there, like, what are they going to – you know, what is Jets Nation's expectations of what that would have looked like? Because – they're not getting rid of Adam Gase. You know, if you would have, they would have fired Adam Gase, they would have done it by now. For whatever reason, they're keeping him. So
it's the end of the year. So I think he's done.
I don't think he is. I think Jets ownership has their heads so far up their asses that they're going to keep him on.
No, there's no way. The Jets will absolutely clean out. They'll get rid of both GM, Joe Douglas and Adam Gase.
Fired Greg Williams was just because of how much of an embarrassment that play call was.
Yeah, but you know what? Without that play call, they might have lost Trevor Lawrence a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
At least Greg Williams had a long-term plan in place. You got to give him credit for that.
But the problem, though, is that, like, what I'm getting at is it really worth it to have Trevor Lawrence come to your team if he's just going to end up ruined – like you know, Sam Darnold, you know, allegedly has been.
I don't think Sam Darnold's as good as Trevor Lawrence, first
correct.
Off. Secondly,
no, they're different, yeah.
You get the right – and, again, this is with the Jets. This could take 1 year or 10,000 and probably somewhere in between. With the right coaching staff with Trevor Lawrence in there, it's not like the Jets are historically horrible other than their record. They've got some players.
Sorry. No,
I know where he's coming from. Yeah.
I know, but I know.
I get what you mean, but like.
I mean, they've got a few guys that can – they could be the Browns 2.0 where they're going to have to – okay, you get your Trevor Lawrence. You're going to have another rough season or two. But if you draft wisely with the right organization in place with Trevor Lawrence as your quarterback, you could be right back in the thick of it by the 2023 season, which for the Jets, that's pretty good.
Right, or they do exactly what they did when they drafted Sam Darnold and you pick Darnold instead of – and not, you know, the Baker Mayfields or the Lamar Jacksons that are also in that draft.
Right. So,
and then you're the one sitting there 3 years later like, well, what the hell? They're going to play off double-digit teams, and we're not.
Yeah, right.
Remember when Trevor Lawrence was supposed to be good?
Look. As much as I agree with Andy's assertion.
Let's throw Josh Allen into that mix of the quarterbacks.
As much as I agree with Andy's assertion that the Jacksonville Jaguars are just sort of farting around with no direction, I have to at least give it to them that they'd probably be a better fit for Trevor Lawrence at this point than the Jets.
That I agree with. I'll tell you for two reasons. One, he's still in the South that way,
mm-hmm.
and he's not under the microscope that is the New York media. And right. the Jags, I think, are another team that has a couple players that aren't as far away as they look right now. So you put Trevor Lawrence in there, you draft wisely in this draft, maybe next year, and the next thing you know, we might be going, God, I'm so sick of the Jags winning the division every year because they've got Trevor Lawrence and they've got it together, and stranger things have happened.
I don't think that's a concern. Well, you know, maybe. Who knows?
We're in an AFC title game like two, three years ago.
Yeah, Blake Bortles was on the cusp of the Super Bowl.
So you put Trevor Lawrence in that spot, and who knows what happens, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but that whole team is, like, dead, so, you know.
That's NFL for you.
So who do the Jags play in the final two games? The Bears?
Chicago and I don't know.
Here, I'm pulling it up.
If I'm the Jacksonville Jaguars, I don't know who their fifth-string quarterback is, but I'd go find him, and he's who'd play these last two games.
Well, they're not even mentioned.
So what? You're saying they should go full Broncos and get the wide receiver off the practice squad?
Oh, fuck no, that guy's way too good. You want somebody worse than him?
No, you just run Wildcat full time, right. And just, you know, yeah. Good luck.
So the Jets play the Browns and Patriots
for the next 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. The Jacksonville Jaguars will be running the triple option for the rest of the way. That's it. That's all we're gonna do.
And the
wishbone. We're gonna go to the wishbone.
And the Jags play the Bears and what did I say? I just said Colts.
Patriots.
No, Jags are Bears and Colts, and the Jets are the Browns and Patriots.
Watch them win, like end up finishing. What would that make them? 3-13?
Yeah.
They would have to win out because even if they win one more game, Cincinnati will still have a tiebreaker because they have that elusive tie from when.
Right, that tie against the Eagles, right? That tie is gonna fuck over everyone. Like,
yeah. No, I've got a better idea, Adam. Pull from the stands like they do in hockey. Like, have your fan backup quarterback ready.
Like the accountant down the road or something who played quarterback in high school.
to run the wishbone offense for 2 weeks in the NFL. That's what I'd be doing if I were them.
No, Statue of Liberty play, come on.
Whatever.
Like, just be like, you know, we're not even – like, we actively want to lose the next two games. So we're just gonna have fun. We're just going to see what happens.
The flying wedge.
So ESPN's football power index projections give the Jaguars a 74.2% chance to earn the number one pick. The Jets have a mere 25.6.
Wow.
They fucked themselves. Simple as that.
Well, they're the Jets. And then, you know, I thought that there was such a beautiful synchronicity to this that the Jets pulled this complete, absolute bonehead stunt. And guess where they get to draft – Trevor Lawrence next year if they don't do this. In Cleveland, which I thought there's just something so beautiful about that. That they fucked it up and now they got to go to Cleveland and pick the guy they didn't want.
So this leads me to an interesting thought. Sorry to cut you off, Greg. I just wanted to say it before I forgot. So if this hasn't happened in a long time, but if you're Trevor Lawrence and let's say the Jets somehow pull an active guy and get the number one pick, if for whatever reason, like to Mike's point, maybe they don't fire their GM, maybe they don't fire Adam Gase, or maybe they hire a random college coach or somebody, a nobody, who is a total gamble or someone without any sort of reputation in the league. And you're Trevor Lawrence. I know that you don't exactly have the Manning last name, but do you pull an Eli in that situation? I've always been curious when the next quarterback was that would basically say, I'm not playing for your bullshit
team. Because we've seen that twice, right?
Elway was the first one, right?
Elway.
Yeah.
He didn't want to play for Baltimore.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the Colts were essentially what the Jets are now back then. They were a joke. Yeah.
And then Eli to the Chargers. It's funny how the Eli to the Giants thing all worked out, because Phillip Rivers didn't have a bad Chargers career.
No.
Didn't make a Super Bowl, but they were right there. And Eli somehow made out with two Super Bowls.
It was that was such a weird year for the draft, because you had such riches in the top 10 to navigate that trade.
And then not to mention Roethlisberger and yeah.
Right. But the thing is, though, with this draft, you have like the second quarterback, Justin Fields, and nobody even really knows how good he is. You got a guy out of BYU, Zach Wilson, who looks all right. There's like four or five quarterbacks, but after the number one overall pick, it's just kind of nothing. It's kind of you're taking a big risk.
I think a lot of draft picks are going to be risked this year just because of nobody got to see how these kids play normal situation football this year.
Isn't Lawrence like 6'5 or 6'6 and he's run and he can throw and he's like Andrew Luck 2.0 or somebody along those lines.
I hope he's healthier.
Well, yeah, but I mean he's as close to a sure thing as you're going to get these days.
Yeah, 6'6, 220. He's a big dude.
Yeah, and he's also agile. He can run, he can throw, he can do it all.
He's also got a goofy looking face.
Oh my God! That
yeah, cool. But so did Eli, and he won two Super Bowls. So
he looks even weirder than Eli does.
Like, Trevor Lawrence, to quote my late great father, would have to sneak up on a glass of water. That's the that's the look he has.
He's got a great head of hair on him, though.
Yeah, but he needs something up there because there ain't a whole lot else going on. What was I gonna say?
Wow, that just Greg brutally burying Trevor Lawrence.
He's not a good looking man. What do you want me to say?
to put it like, stop beating around the bush. He has a giant nose.
He's just a very long,
like big nose.
If I can beat up on the listeners the way I do, why am I pulling my punches on Trevor Lawrence? He's fucking goofy looking, okay? There you go.
He's goofy looking.
That's it. Yeah.
He's got a long career in radio for him.
Exactly. He won't be once his career is over. He'll be doing local NFL broadcasts because I don't see him on the NFL Today or Fox or whatever.
Yeah, small eyes, huge nose.
He's goofier. He's fucking goofy
fucking brutal.
Like the first time I ever saw him play for Clemson, I was like, whoa, what is like? Is there something wrong with his face? I thought there was something wrong with him. And then it's like, the best quarterback in college football all of a sudden. So
I felt the same way about having Mike Glennon as the Bears quarterback for that 1 year. He looks like something that crawled out of Chernobyl and is wearing an NFL uniform. It's like, oh, my God.
There's some solids for the Jets, I guess.
Face. Let me see. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
The Jets can take some solace in this, that – not too often does a really ugly quarterback win a Super Bowl. It just doesn't happen that often. So maybe that's something you can take away from this. I don't know if Justin Fields would be – I will tell you about Justin Fields. I think he's Dwayne Haskins 2.0.
Mm.
That's what I think. And that could be good, bad, or indifferent.
That's kind of a scathing indictment, really.
You think?
Yeah. I Dwayne Haskins is fine, but he's not
– he's a guy.
He's a very easily replaced quarterback, yeah.
I'm not so sure you're not going to get the same thing with Justin Fields is what I'm saying. I don't know. We'll see.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
How you feeling after what happened yesterday with the heel Buccaneers?
Wait, hold on. Can I put on the heel hat for you? Can I just give Mike's speech? Tom Brady wanted Matt Ryan to feel that way again. We did it on purpose.
Yeah, Tom Brady makes Matt Ryan his biatch for a second time.
You got Antonio Brown in the mix.
Antonio Brown scored a touchdown. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those cases where, you know, jokes aside, you'd wish this team would get out of their own way, because, you know, they're down 17-0 going into the half, and you're like, what the fuck's going on? And then, oh, it's like Tom Brady's like, oh, right, I'm Tom Brady, I should win football games. And it's sort of kind – so it's, I don't know if it's a coaching thing. I don't know if I don't know if it's just a matter of, you know, the team just maybe isn't gelling as well as they should. But, you know, at this point, you know, there's no excuse for them not to have. So I don't know. I honestly don't know. But I also know that a win's a win, and Tom Brady fucked the Falcons again. So, woo!
All right, you ready for Greg's hot take of the week?
Hear it.
I think that this Buccaneers team would be within a game, one way or the other, having the exact same record if Jameis Winston was still the quarterback.
I don't know about that.
No, I'm telling you. What's that record? Like 8-6 or something like
nine
that?
9-5. Nine and five. Same as Zach's Rams. So.
Look, I don't know about the same record with Jameis Winston, but I think
I said within a game either way.
I think if you put a replacement level quarterback in there, like, yeah, they're probably no better than the Bears. Like, I mean, the Bears beat them, right? Like,
yeah.
If you take Tom Brady off and you put Mitch Trubisky on the Buccaneers, let's say, yeah, they're probably 7-7.
But like the whole thing, right, about Jameis Winston, is that I've watched Jameis Winston play, you know, for the Bucs. I've watched that happen for a couple seasons now, and like I'm telling you, he's not good. Like, you know,
oh,
yes,
come on, he was great. He was so much fun. Come on.
We're dealing with like retirement Tom Brady, but retirement Tom Brady is still better than like, you know, 30 for 30 Jameis.
But not nearly as much fun.
the thing with the Bucks, I don't know. I honestly am not entirely sure what the deal is. But Tom, you know, has proven that he can still go. So that's fun to see. I mean, he's still fun to watch.
Wow.
What?
I just can't believe I'm hearing these words come out of your mouth. I just can't believe
look,
it.
What, I, did, Hollywood Mike, all right? Like this – I'm committing to it. Look, and you know, Tom Brady, you know, they're only a win away from securing the playoffs, which is another thing. You know, like if the Bucks, you know, win one more game, or, you know, the Bucks even secure a playoff spot if the Bears lose one more game.
Yeah. Same, they're the same spot as the Rams.
Yeah. Like the Bucks, you know, have a very high probability of making the playoffs. And if they make the playoffs, it'll be the first time they've made the playoffs since 2007. So it's like, I think this team has shown, you know, significant improvement over, you know, where they were. You know, to say that, you know, it wouldn't just be the same with Jameis Winston. I don't think so.
But I will say, Mike, to give my little like edge here. Well, yes, the Rams did lose to the dumb Jets over the weekend. The Rams, thanks to their win over the Buccaneers on Monday Night Football, the great bone pewter matchup of 2020.
That was apparently the greatest looking football game of all time, according to idiots.
The Rams have the inside track right now to play the vaunted NFC East champions whenever that's decided.
Oh, so you can lose to them too.
Oh, how dare you?
I mean, that's,
you'd have to deal with Russell Wilson, so your life wouldn't be that much easier.
No, because Russell Wilson would, yeah, no, he'd pull some bullshit.
Right.
I find myself in the unusual position of sitting here going, well, you guys have fun. My team has the best record of the four of us.
The Packers are probably going to get that bye now because, you know, Drew Brees is insisting on playing with his 11 cracked ribs or whatever.
Yeah, like to the point where – so, okay. So this is – I just want to talk about like dumb football coaches for again because – okay. So I'm watching NFL Football Night in America last night, right? And they show the highlights from the Saints-Chiefs game and, you know, Chiefs win. and they're and the panel that they have goes oh, you know, they asked Drew Brees after the game, are you at 100%? And he said no. And Tony Dungy, you know, vaunted football genius that he is, said, like, it's like, oh, you're in a real tough spot if you're Sean Payton, because, like, you know that your star quarterback isn't at 100%, but, like, you also owe it to him to play him because, you know, you're going to need him down the line in the playoffs. And it's like, no, that's not a tough position. You don't play the man with cracked ribs because, you know, maybe if you don't play the man of cracked ribs, then come playoff time, he will be healthy.
You know what the answer is? Again, in New Orleans, Jameis Winston. I'm just saying.
God. You know what? Honestly, as much as I just, you know, buried Jameis Winston, I'd honestly agree. Like, because it's like, what's his face? Drew Brees is on the vert. You know, he's injured. You know, he's clearly injured. And Hill, you know, Taysom Hill. Is it Taysom or Trevor? I always get
Taysom.
That mixed up.
Taysom.
So Taysom Hill is, you know, so not a quarterback. ESPN Fantasy had him listed as a tight end. So, like, is this a thing where, like, football coaches are idiots again? Because I'm thinking
again?
The obvious answer is, no, you don't play Drew Brees. You keep him as healthy as possible come for playoff time. You know, like, what are you doing playing him if he still has broken ribs?
Does anybody believe that if Jameis Winston had played quarterback for the Saints yesterday, they might have lost 47-42. They might have won 47-42.
I mean, there's a very good chance they would have been in a position to win, but then he would have thrown an interception. So,
yeah, all right, like, that would have made it poetry. Come on.
Did any of you get to see part of that game at all?
No, not really.
I only saw the highlights.
Drew Brees, he looked like he was struggling.
Like, did he look like a man with 11 cracked ribs?
Kind of, yeah. Like, it looked like it was kind of a struggle for him to throw the ball downfield sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And really get some zip on it, and just because he's a guy playing with broken ribs. Like, I get that this is probably Drew Brees' last rodeo, but, like, do you want to, like, snap those ribs again and, like, pierce your lungs? Like, what is
your
end game here to try and win another Super Bowl?
It's like, Drew, we know you want one more Super Bowl, but at the same time, is it really going to be worth it if you literally die on the field? Like,
his legacy is secure. He won a Super Bowl for the goddamn New Orleans Saints. He set a bunch of NFL passing records, and, like, he's good. He doesn't need to get another run at this.
Well, no, he doesn't. He doesn't need to get another run at this. But you know who you just described, Zach? Brett Favre.
Yeah.
And we all saw what happened with Brett Favre hanging on
2 years too long.
Right?
2 years too long, 4 years.
So
I'd say four.
I mean, it's one of those things, right, where it's like, you know, did Brett Favre need to go to the Vikings? Did he need to go to the Jets? No, he didn't. Like, if he would have retired, if his last season in Green Bay had been his last season, period, he'd have gone down without question as one of the greatest of all time. You know, you mentioned, you know, Drew Brees won a Super Bowl for, like, the goddamn New Orleans Saints. People don't realize that before Brett Favre came around, it was the goddamn Green Bay Packers who hadn't done anything since Lombardi left.
Hey, I will have you know that John Mikowski led the team to a 10-6 record in the 80s sometime. So there.
The 80s sometime. Okay.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
But like, my point, right, is that, you know, Brett Favre resurrected a dead dynasty and made the Packers, you know, title town again. And sure, you know, he had that Super Bowl, like, the next year where they lost to Denver and they had, like, a few close calls and they never really punched their ticket again. But still, by the end of his Packers career, Brett Favre had a Super Bowl to his name for the Green Bay Packers. He had all these passing records. He had MVPs, you know, coming out the ass. He was good, and he for whatever reason felt he needed one more Super Bowl and hung on. And I mean, I don't think Drew Brees is as fold himself as Brett Favre is, but he's kind of inching towards that, where it's like, Drew, you don't need another Super Bowl. Don't ruin your career over it.
I think if Drew Brees had an Aaron Rodgers-type backup breathing down his neck, he'd do the exact same thing. But he doesn't have that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, and I don't fault anything regarding playing.
You're saying Jameis Winston isn't on the level of Aaron Rodgers?
It depends on which quarter you're in. Sometimes. Sometimes, absolutely. ask me every 10 minutes. That's really how you got to judge it.
I feel like it's career by career. You could say the same thing about Tom Brady. He's hanging on too long. He's not walking away from where he just wants to keep playing. But look at it from Brett Favre's perspective. Brett Favre is dumb. Like, he's country dumb. And, you know, and without football, there's nothing there. So he got
Wrangler commercial.
The difference is, like, if Tom Brady was going out there with 11 broken ribs, I would say, hey, Tom, you can sit. You're good. You did all that you needed to do. You're fine.
Six Super Bowls. What are you still doing out there?
Right.
Who is his backup in Tampa?
Oh, who knows? I honestly don't know. It's one of those quarterbacks who's been around forever. Yeah. I can't name it.
It should be a McCown, right?
Gabbard. Blaine Gabbert.
That's right.
Blaine Gabbert, yeah.
Wow.
He's actually not
look
too
at
bad.
Blaine Gabbert. Yeah, look at him making a career for himself there, because he's been around, what, 7-8 years now, I think.
Yeah, he watched,
do you remember the days of what was it, C.J. Pendergast, the clipboard Jesus? Remember
I like
him?
To do.
Yeah, I remember.
Like, go around and there's. I mean, the life of an NFL quarterback who stays around for, like, you know, 14 years and plays maybe three times. Like, there's a number of these guys: Chase Daniel, Matt Castle. There's got to be, like, I can't remember. There's one quarterback.
Matt Flynn remains the.
He's the gold standard for sure.
He's the gold standard. He's the guy. Like he's the guy whose career you want.
Well, Mike Glennon's been around for a pretty long time, hasn't he?
Yeah, I don't think he's on the level yet of, like, a Matt Castle. Let me see. I'm trying to see that, like, I guess, like, people – I guess Mariota is on his way to being that way, to where he's going to be just a dude who's floating around. Colt McCoy.
Who is he even playing for?
The Raiders.
Yeah, but he's backing for the Raiders.
I had no idea. I did. Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, it's funny. You'll watch a game and some guy will pop up and you'll go, wow, he's still in the league. Had no idea. Blaine Gabbert would have been one of those guys. I would have thought he was long gone.
We could look at another one yesterday. Colt McCoy for the Giants.
Yeah.
How the hell is he still in the NFL?
I don't know.
It's not even that he's like the backup quarterback that doesn't ever get in. He's a guy that, like, he's played semi-consistently. And we know he's bad, so why is he getting jobs?
He played for the Washingtons for a while, for the 32s. I know that.
Colt McCoy is still playing. Colt McCoy is still playing because of his name.
Wait, he played for the Cowboys?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. How could that – how do we miss that? Colt McCoy with the Cowboys. Come on.
How was he not the starter every week?
At least on the cover of every sports magazine for a month or so, just because.
I mean,
that.
Isn't that the perfect name for a Dallas Cowboys quarterback, Colt?
Yes. Like, he was born to play that position.
Colt McSix Gun or whatever, you know.
Six Gun McCoy.
To be a successful backup quarterback in the NFL, and Matt Schaub, that's another one who's like just become like 70 years old and he's still playing. They're just known commodities. Who are, you know, they've proven they can absorb a playbook. They have the humility to be a backup and sort of like defer to the starter, give them tips, be essentially an additional QB coach. And when they go into games, they're going to keep things steady. And like, Blaine Gabbert, for example, he's not only does he have a number of starts under his belt, which is invaluable, that playing time, coaches love that shit, but he has a number of successes. He won a game for Jim Tomsula, for Christ's sakes. I mean, he's
wow.
he's not a terrible. I mean, he obviously backups. You never want to start your backup ever.
Jim Tomsula. I miss him.
The world does not miss Jim Tomsula. He's fine.
I'm with you, Mike. I kind of miss him too.
He was like he felt like he should be the perpetual coach of like the Detroit Lions or something.
Or the Jets.
Yeah, right. Where it's like he's just always there, and so, you know, yeah.
Just around this sort of question, I wanted to find a list of the backup quarterbacks in the league. Funnily enough, NFL.com back in August did a backup quarterback ranking. Now, some of these don't work because some of these backups have since started or are rookies that have now started. So I'm just going to skip by some of those. But, like, you still – like, Case Keenum is still kicking around on the Browns roster.
Browns, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Marcus Mariota came in this week for the Raiders.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Geno Smith is somehow the backup in Seattle?
Still? I mean, not still in Seattle, but still in the league?
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
I think that's a thing of, like, he plays similar to Russell Wilson. So that, like, that's the same reason that
– I mean, so he's the discount Russell Wilson.
Well, it's the same thing as, like, I didn't realize that RG3 was still in the league until –
He's backing up Lamar Jackson, then you realize, oh, he's kind of the crappier version of Lamar Jackson.
Exactly. Like, teams that have quarterbacks like that, you can't just have a Trevor Siemian come in. You need, like, somebody that sort of plays the same way so you don't have to change the offense. Let's see. We got Chad Henne is still with the
– He is still around?
He's thrown 5 passes in the last 5 seasons.
Wow.
Yep.
That's the guy that played at Michigan, right?
Yeah.
That was back in 1994, I think.
Yeah.
He's been around a long time.
As you said, with the Lions, who's been around. A.J. McCarron is a backup at Houston.
He was almost a Browns starting quarterback the Hugh Jackson trade that didn't go through.
You got to remember Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's the, like, epitome of the, like, backup.
He started the last couple of years, though. He's a different.
He accidentally starts. He's a placeholder guy who they bring him in to start to get benched. You know, that's the whole idea is that he's a transition guy.
Yeah. You mentioned Matt Schaub. I still can't believe it. 17 years in the league, Matt Schaub.
But you know what I was thinking? Yeah. Guys like these, they don't need to make the big giant quarterback contracts. You get it. A guy for – think about it. 17 years and he's making, let's say, $3 million a year.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to walk away okay. And these other guys are making – I mean, I know the NFL minimum, I think, is $550,000 for a season. So if you just walk around with a clipboard as the third-string emergency quarterback, you're making $500,000 a year. Where do I sign up for that?
Did you know that Matt Barkley is still the backup in Buffalo?
No way.
According to this, he's now outlasted Matt Leinart's NFL career.
Yeah.
By playing into his 8th season.
What's Matt Leinart doing these days?
He's doing college football TV for Fox.
Yeah, college football. All right. Pre-game show. Yeah. Or so studio show.
So, see, I'm going to – this is a Greg. This is a question for Greg. He'll probably know exactly what this is. All right, so, Greg, this quarterback played from 1999 until 1975. He retired at 48. This is a quarterback.
Oh, it's George Blanda.
George Blanda. He retired at 48 years old. Jesus. Like, numerous wars this guy played through.
Yeah, he also smoked. It was really funny to watch.
Well, that's the secret. That's how you get. That's how you play that long.
It was hilarious, man. They would show him, like, he would come in and play a little bit, and they show a shot like NFL films. It's like he's sitting over there, his gray hair all fucking messed up and everything, smoking a cigarette. I'm like, this guy's the greatest.
They don't make that anymore. Like that.
The closest we got to that was Jay Cutler.
I think, and I might be wrong about this, but I think George Blanda was the starting quarterback for the first ever AFL champions, which might have been the Houston Oilers.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, Houston Oilers.
Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
And then he finished his career with the Raiders. I know that. He was mostly – towards the end, he was still considered a quarterback, but he was also a place kicker.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now they need to have – that's what the XFL needs to do is just like don't go young. Go old. Like find a bunch of really old, just like has-beens and never was and – and, you know, on the sideline, just have, like, a big vending machine of cigarettes. And
I was going to say, if you smoke 2 packs a day, all the better.
Just, you know, just a guy with a cigarette butt hanging off his lip behind center, you know. That'd be fucking awesome. I'd love that shit.
Yeah. There was a guy from the 80s. I think his name was Matt Cavanaugh. He was, like, a guy that was a backup for somebody for, like, the Patriots for a while, 49ers. It was, like, every time a starting quarterback would get hurt, it seemed like Matt Cavanaugh came in, no matter who the team was. I don't know if they just passed him around or what, but yeah, he was around a lot too.
To marginally transition, if you want,
spells his name just like mine.
Oh, there you go. I did, by the way, with Spin the Wheel, Make the Deal, I did fix the score. I got everything corrected. So it was a mixed week, I guess, for Spin the Wheel, Make the Deal results. I obviously chose to lose to the Rams.
Yep.
I was wrong.
Yeah, wow.
Mike chose the Vikings to beat the Bears. Also wrong.
Yes. God damn it, Bears. Even when I pick against you, you fuck me.
That's right.
Greg and Zach both win their pick. They are currently tied for second place with 7-5.
Who was my game this week? I don't remember who I picked.
Bills Broncos. You picked the Bills.
Oh, yeah, okay. I
am dead ass last at 5-7. Mike is ahead of everybody, 9-3 in his choices. So with 2 weeks to go, I think Mike can lock it up this week with a win.
Indeed I can.
So the best we can hope for is a tie for Greg and I.
Yes.
Well, let's look at here. I think Zach and
I guess that's a good point. If Mike picks a game that's a tie, is that a loss?
Well, here's how we'll do this. If we all we can keep this going, we can't do the spin the wheel part, but we can all pick the games and the playoffs and stuff and keep this going right through the Super Bowl.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, sorry about that, Mike. I took a championship right out of your pocket. But.
we can spin the wheel in like the first two playoff rounds.
Yeah.
I don't even know what the playoffs are going to look like because the Texans aren't making it. So who's going to play in the Saturday afternoon game?
I believe that honor would now go to
probably the Titans and somebody. I don't know. They're not going to play the Texans. So I don't know who they're going to play. I'm going to put the wheel up. There's the wheel.
So this is week 16 matchups. This is for Zach's all-important game here. Mm-hmm. He'll be choosing between the Panthers and the Washington 32s.
Ooh. See, you're in a tough spot here, Zach. This is the spot I was in yesterday.
Well, see, here's my problem.
I hate the Seahawks, but I didn't want the 32s to win because that puts them at 7. Right. We can't have that.
Do I go with my heart and wish for the 32s to lose, or do I go with my head and hope that that they're take their momentum of the playoffs? I got to commit to the bet. I'm going Panthers.
All right, okay. I'm with you. I'm with you. I think that. We're so close. We're so close. Come on. Don't blow it now, Washington.
What happened this last week? Carolina played Green Bay. Didn't play terribly.
No. Carolina is capable of beating the 32s.
Sure, of course.
Yeah. All right. Who's next?
This is Mike's game. Mike, you'll be choosing.
All righty. Let's do it.
Falcons.
Chiefs. Chiefs, all the way.
So thank you, Wheel, for handing Mike the championship.
Right.
So now I'm just – so in keeping with the bit, I'm now just air guitaring my championship belt that's spray painted with a creamsicle NWO.
We'll see. The Chiefs – is it possible the Chiefs would rest their starters? Have they secured the number one seed?
No.
Damn it.
They're 13-1. They're only a game up on
On the Steelers.
Yeah.
Or no, I guess the Steelers are playing tonight. Steelers will beat the Bengals. So, yeah, there'll only be a game up. That's right.
Oh, what a bunch of shit. Browns and Jets. All right. So, second week in a row I get to choose the Jets game. I'm going to go with the Browns. And I may have just fucked them because I chose them. Greg.
That's all right.
Greg. Don't, come on, Greg's Browns. Don't fuck Andy.
Greg, the Browns just won 10 football games.
I know. It's awesome. It's great. It's fun. Good stuff.
10 whole football games. I got it. What, twice?
Hold on. Let me.
All right. This is your game, Greg.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Really?
Broncos charge.
Oh, boy.
I'll take the San Diego Superchargers via Los Angeles of Costa Mesa. There you go.
All right. That's the wheel for this week.
How many times have the Browns won 10 games since they came back? Twice?
This is the second time.
This is it?
Yes. And despite what you hear on the Bill Simmons podcast, Derek Anderson has never played in a playoff game for the Cleveland Browns. That's never happened.
No, Derek Anderson was the quarterback of that team that
went 10-6 and didn't make the playoffs.
Right. Okay.
Kelly Holcomb was the starting quarterback. The only time the Browns
Kelly Holcomb was a playoff caliber quarterback.
Well, no, but that's who started for the Browns. That
so would they go like 9-6, 9-7?
9-7, yeah.
Wow.
So 9-7, and then yeah, and then they were actually beating the Steelers. And
yep.
Then
so Tommy Maddox.
If when the Browns beat the Jets this weekend, this will be the best record in new Browns history.
In new Browns history, yeah.
Yes. Wow. Yeah.
Yep.
Well,
they went 12-4 a couple times.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the best.
But you know, those are the Ravens, so it doesn't count.
Right. well, but speaking, oh, there's something I wanted to bring up about the Browns. Now I forgot.
Their uniforms look nice.
Yeah, they did. Remember I bitched about Browns fans a couple weeks ago?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So I don't know if you guys watched the game last night, but the Browns got that penalty after a touchdown and had to back the extra point up to it was like a 50-yard attempt.
And then it got and
he bounced it off the upright, and one of my friends goes, "The Browns desperately need a kicker." I'm like, for fuck's sake, it was one missed extra point from like 70 yards out. Really?
Well, it's Cody Parkey, Greg.
Yeah,
well,
I know.
You can't be objective about Cody Parkey, Andy. So,
but he's been pretty solid for the Browns this year. But it cracked me up. It was like, I mean, the minute that it was like thunk, and there you go, you see it. Browns need a kicker right away. It's like every time somebody doesn't score a touchdown on every time they touch the ball, we got to replace that guy.
So, right now,
you know what this sounds like? This sounds like the football Leafs.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Mike, we're trying to figure out who would be the Saturday afternoon playoff game.
Yeah, I need to know
so
that.
Here's your options. If the playoffs started right now and these were the playoff teams right now, you have the option of Titans-Browns.
Okay.
Bills-Colts.
Ooh.
Rams-32s.
That's your Saturday game.
Or Cardinals Saints.
Ooh, that might be a Saturday game too.
Because I'm thinking like Seahawks Buccaneers. That's Tom Brady. That's Russell Wilson. That's not going to be high level.
Yeah.
A Steelers game, even if they're playing, if the Steelers are playing the Dolphins, that's for sure not a low level game.
So, no, and if the Ravens somehow sneak in past the Dolphins, no way. Saturday.
So you got Titans, Browns, Colts, Bills, Washington, Rams. Or Arizona, New Orleans, potentially.
I don't know. I gotta say Titans, Browns, only because, like, I don't know, maybe it's that NFC South bias, but you gotta keep it in the division. If the Texans can't be there, it's gotta be the NFC South.
Yeah. And potentially too, if the Ravens somehow edge above the Dolphins, you could have Steelers Ravens in the first round. That'd be pretty nice.
Yeah. Not a bad playoff field.
It's like the playoffs are mostly full of good teams, you know.
That's nice.
Yeah.
But, and then whoever the NFC East sends.
Right, unfortunately. Speaking of undeserving pieces of shit, Greg, you have the results of voting.
I do.
So the ignominious tournament of disgrace is rounding down here as we end 2020.
Yes, we have the results.
How did voting go?
The voting went well. Because there was only one bracket this time, we couldn't have an unbalanced number of votes, which is nice. So we will just start from the top here. The first matchup in round two was Rudy Gobert touches all the microphones and in sports versus tournament favorite Tiger King. Anybody want to venture a guess before I give the score?
Okay, here's the thing. I love Tiger King, but we are a sports show. I feel like we need to respect sports. So
we're basically a sports show.
Oh, okay. That's
so
fair.
I think Tiger King is just like,
yeah,
you know,
it's got to be Tiger King.
If it's not in the final, this whole thing is a farce. So,
well, then it's a farce because Rudy Gobert, the microphones, wins 19-13.
What?
Yes.
Whoa!
I was shocked, you guys.
Oh!
Is this because he got the fucking contract and everyone's just like having a vote party for Rudy? What a bunch of shit.
I think Mike's got the right idea that we're a sports-oriented show. And Tiger King was pretty early.
He ended sports, guys. Come on.
This is shenanigans. I'm
going to protest this tournament. Supreme Court, here we come.
Okay.
Well, I don't want to add any fuel to the fire, Zach, but when I went to bed last night, Tiger King was winning, and now he's losing today.
Yeah. Oh, so it's just some votes coming overnight? They just put them under a table?
Stop the count! Stop the count!
We're still waiting to watch the video to see if any suitcases full of votes are pulled out from under a table.
I think you might have stopped. You know, Greg, you stopped the count too early. We need to keep the count going.
Okay.
Is what needs to happen. Count those votes. Come on, people.
All right. So
round game number two in the second round.
There's some votes that are still in the mail that, you know, they haven't processed.
If we get more votes in by, say, Thursday of next week, then I'll add them to the total and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, okay.
I'm interested in fighting through a bunch of court cases and a bunch of shit, so we'll go that route instead.
Tiger King will not leave the 2020 house until
Four Seasons Total Landscaping taking on Chinese Duck Army.
I got to go Total Landscaping.
Yeah, Four Seasons for me, I feel like it's the pick.
That was one of the most surreal things in the history of American politics, so that's got
to. It was not even close. 23-9, Four Seasons Total Landscaping takes the easy win, and the Chinese Duck Army will waddle off to parts unknown.
So it's going to be Four Seasons versus Rudy Gobert.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think.
That's a semifinal, right?
I don't know.
Are you telling me that these idiots that vote in our tournament denied us Tiger King versus Total Landscaping?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Remember when you guys were giving me shit a couple weeks ago because I was coming down on the listeners so hard? Now how you feel about it, huh?
Yeah. It's going to be it's going to be Gobert versus Four Seasons. This is a semifinal, yes.
You can't trust these fucking people to get anything right. I'm just saying. Okay, now match number three. Pentagon admits UFOs are real and no one cares versus gender reveal wildfires.
I got to ride hard for the UFOs. Come on.
I'm going to go gender reveal wildfires, I think. Is this too topical, too sweeping?
Zach?
He's muted, so I assume he's taking the dump. So.
Okay. Well, and I think this might be a bit of an upset. I'm surprised by this, but the UFOs actually take this one.
Woo, woo, woo!
Which is who I would have voted for, but I figured that the gender reveal wildfires, that was a strong contender.
Look, I once had an ancient aliens guy in my GTOV bracket. I got a ride for the aliens. So.
Well, I'm always with the aliens. And, you know, I think – wait, I've got to – we got to throw this in from one of our longtime listeners, Cosmic. Let me find the quote really quick. Basically, a sport show or no?
I had to answer a phone call real quick.
That's okay.
Did I just miss the gender reveal wildfire losing?
Lost.
Two UFOs are real and no one cares.
Yeah. It's like I said, you can't trust these fucking people to get anything right.
God. We're redoing the tournament. This is stupid. This is bad.
from longtime listener Cosmic, there's nothing I am more sure of that it will eventually be known that the baby from the gender reveal wildfire was given a fire-themed name. And I said, yes, her name will be Blaze Adara, daughter of Ken and Chad McDumbfuck, or Karen and Chad McDumbfuck. But yes. So anyway, yeah, I'm surprised by that. I really thought that gender reveal wildfires would be
– Maybe we're right talking – I think we might have talked up Tiger King and gender reveal wildfire too much.
No, I blame the listeners. They always vote the wrong way. Always.
Contrarian vote bullcrap happening here, for sure.
You're all just bitter. Aliens for the win.
And you want to know why I have no faith in the fucking listeners? This next one's going to show you why.
Oh, boy.
Match number four, running out of names for all the hurricanes versus African Hitler.
Did African Hitler lose?
African Hitler fucking lost. Can you believe that? To a hurricane. Come on.
Well, hey, hold on. Really, people. So listen, this really is on theme for this tournament because this tournament isn't supposed to be good. You know, like it's supposed to be.
No, that is true. It's 2020. This is everything's supposed to be fucking awful. So like, yeah.
What a disappointment. So, I mean, like whoever, I mean, obviously, you know, if the baboon, vasectomy baboon loses now, then the whole thing could just be set on fire. But I mean, that's the year. That's the theme.
If baboon loses, I'm shutting the fucking thing down right now. If we're going to call it on account of COVID, and that's going to be the end of it. That'll be that. African Hitler. I still what the fuck is wrong with you people? My God.
You know what? We're going to ignore reality, and we're going to pick all the entries that lost this week and make them another new tournament where they will win.
I think, you know what, it might be my fault that this is happening. I think they're trying to get back at me for giving them such shit about this.
And so, so it's the Tom Brady thing all over again.
Kind of, yeah, I guess.
So let's go to the other side of the bracket here.
But that just shot. I was like, come on, African Hitler? And you voted for the fucking Hurricanes? Really?
I've been cheerleading some of the wins so far, but I got to express my disappointment here. African Hitler, man. Come on, guys. Come on.
Just to show you how fucked up 2020 is, you got a bunch of guys upset because fucking Hitler lost to something. Come on.
Yeah.
All right, the guy
had to issue a press release saying he had no plans for world domination. Like, come on.
Yeah, but that's not as good as hurricane names. Come on, Mike. Fucking
no, idiot. No, exactly. I'm saying I'm pissed off.
I know. That's what I'm saying, man. It's like I think that I really did cause this. My constant bitching about the way they vote. They're like, okay, fuck you then. So could be my fault. But you know what? We were in the tournament, so we could overrule that if we wanted to.
Now the people have spoken. They get to sleep in the bed they've made. You know, like they.
Yeah, you want a shit tournament? You've got it. Fine.
I don't want to hear any complaints.
Because I got news for you, fucker. You can vote African Hitler out. You can make the gender reveal wildfires lose. But you know what? I'm not fucking going anywhere. So you got to put up with me no matter how you vote. There you go. Okay. Where are we? Airplane toilet liquor COVID challenge versus KFC and finger licking. Good due to COVID.
I mean, I would say the airplane liquor would have it on point, but I mean, based on the results so far today, who the fuck knows? People may like.
I gotta go for influencer licking toilet because of what Zach said that like if you could have a mascot for 2020, it's a 20-something year old social media influencer intentionally contracting COVID. So
where's the toilet for God's sakes? Come on. Yeah. Anyway. It seems like the world's back on its axis with this one. The toilet liquor wins easily 22-10.
Good.
All right. Backing the toilet liquor for the rest of the tournament.
South Korea uses sex dolls to replace fans versus Michigan Loon's attempt at state house takeover.
My heart tells me the sex dolls are the ones that should win because of the base listeners who I feel like they kind of lean towards that kind of goofy shit, and they would go that way.
Well,
But didn't the Michigan folk score a weird upset in the first round?
Yeah. We might have accidentally attracted some like Stormfront people here and like gotten some.
there's like a massive thread about this on Parler or something.
Yeah, we gotta get our boys to the finals.
Yeah, well, your boys aren't going to the finals. They're done. It was an easy win for the Sex Dolls, 20-12 in that one. No problem. Okay.
That'll be an interesting match with the airplane toilet liquor versus sex doll. That'll be good.
Yeah, really. Here's the big one. Matchup number 7. Tournament favorite. Vasectomy baboon escapes with his two wives up against absurd do-it-yourself PPE.
No, Greg,
it's got to be the baboon.
If you tell me the baboon lost, I'm just going to close. I'm done. I'm leaving the show again. We're not going to do this anymore.
We can all rest easy. The baboon won in the biggest margin in the tournament, 23-9.
Good.
So you people vote like morons on some of these, and you're exactly right on others.
So who's the baboon to get the face?
The baboon will take on the winner of our next match.
Okay.
Which was a pretty tight match, actually, and I could see it going either way. Last one, Broncos have to start a wide receiver at quarterback versus Rise of the Karens.
Probably the Karens. I think they're still topical enough, and they kind of there's new videos of Karens doing Karen stuff every week.
Yeah, it's in addition to the toilet lick, the social media toilet licker being the mascot of 2020.
Well, that's like that would be the primary logo.
Yeah, I think these are
secondary logos.
I think
here.
A Karen complaining about something would be right up there. Yeah,
Rise of the Karens in a close one, 17-15 over Broncos at the sort of wide receiver quarterback. So there you have it.
That's gonna be a tough one. We got the baboon versus Karen. That's a tough matchup.
I see. I think that's where the baboon might meet its match, but that's just me.
Yeah, I should have kept my mouth shut. They're gonna hate vote the baboon out of it because of me.
You can't let these monkeys run in our streets. How dare you?
Oh my God.
I need to talk to the manager of the housing committee or whatever those things are called. What are those things called? You live in a neighborhood where there are a bunch of
homeowners association.
Homeowners association. That's what I'm looking for. Yeah. So there you go. Round two of the ignominious tournament of disgrace. Some of the votes were questionable at best, but here we are. Mostly the right people got through, sometimes not so much, but what can we do? We put it in your hands and you inevitably fuck it up, and that's okay. We still love you anyway.
God.
I'm madder about this than I am when, like, something I like in the tournament, a victory, loses.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I'm not, because at least there it's like, okay, well, that lost, but at least I have my other entries that I still like because I created them. This one is just, it's real life events that I felt were either better or worse than your other events, and now they've lost. So,
well, Jupiter, the very first GTOV, Jupiter went out in the first round. The first round. Come on.
That was an ominous sign, wasn't it?
We should have known right then and there that it was going to be a problem.
We need to get like a computer formula to just make an algorithm to pick.
We need to go to the bowl computer.
The college football playoff. We'll just put in the most money making teams. Fuck everybody else.
Speaking of Jupiter, did you guys see the alignment tonight?
It's cloudy here. I can't see it.
Yeah, same here. Yeah, it's first time in 800 years, I guess, this thing has occurred. What's that?
Clear skies out here. I might go look for it.
It's like 45 minutes after sunset is when you're supposed to be able to see it, I guess. Jupiter and Saturn.
Well, no, that's the celeb couple name, Jattern.
Yeah.
Jattern.
Yeah.
Now, because I've said Jattern, which is actually like a real planet the government is trying to hide, that I will be executed.
Well, that's where they put all the Trump votes, right? To hide that. You know?
I guess it just made the glorious tournament of victory.
Jattern. Jattern, where the Biden conspiracy is headquartered.
I love Jattern. So are you claiming Jattern Trump vote? Jattern, where how's going Trump vote?
Yes.
Okay. You can take that one. It's fine.
I don't care if it's out of my bracket. I'm pulling for Jattern housing the Trump votes shit. To win the next one.
Yeah.
Fuck. Anyway. Yeah.
So. In happy 2020 news.
What were the Space Force Guardians from 2020? Go ahead, Zach.
Yeah, the Space Force Guardians.
Fuck.
God, we, you know what? Hold on. Before we go, what I was talking about.
No, we got to talk about one more dumb 2020 thing.
Guardians?
Oh, you know what?
For real though, is this not something that can or will be disbanded in the next 4 years? Or is this something that we're going to have to treat legitimately for the rest of our lives?
You know, I honestly, from a just a normal person on the street perspective, I'd say that it's a joke. But I've always said that presidents don't know what they're in for until they're in office. There might be – look, I doubt it. I really, 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 really doubt it. But there might be a reason for this. And I don't know what it would be unless we've got some really cool spaceships we don't know about. But – So
UFOs are real, so maybe.
Right, and that's what I'm saying.
Elon Musk is trying to land rockets every other day.
My point being that the Department of Defense could have come up with this idea and then it became a fucking clown show. Or it could just be a clown show from start to finish. I really don't know.
Yeah, it's on brand.
And in this world, who knows? It could be either or both.
But then as far as like the actual name, so like – We call what do we call Marines? The Marines?
These
like,
guys are guardians, man.
And the Army is soldiers.
Soldiers, Navy is sailors, Air Force is airmen.
Yeah.
Coast
Guard.
Why are the Coast Guard not the Guardians? It's literally the name, Guardians.
That's Guardians, a good question.
It's on tier with just generic create a team bullshit. Wait, it doesn't like mean anything.
It's like a fake sports team. It's not like the name of a military unit.
But that's why it's so on brand for just like a bunch, you know, garbage in, garbage out. That's what we're getting when you have these people who make the decisions, almost, and they are these embarrassed.
Guardians chosen by professionals for professionals, or something like that, or space professionals for space professionals.
Space professionals. I like that one better. They should be called space professionals.
Call them what it is, the space program, and everybody just...
What's wrong with just calling them, like, astronauts or something? Like,
oh, my, like, that's so 1970. I don't know.
I'm sure they're the same as, like, anything else, but, like...
See, but I'm going to blame us again for this, because we're so obsessed with the logos and all that stuff, and it's spread out and got loose in the world. And
well, now their logo sucks, too. It's a Star Trek.
It's a shitty Star Trek logo.
Right. Yeah.
It's weird because now we get like the Navy Federal Credit Union commercials, and they're like, "Oh, we support all branches of the military: Army, Navy, Coast Guard, Space Force." Like the first time I saw that, it was like,
"Wait, they didn't really say that, did they?"
Oh, we're actually acknowledging this. Okay,
wait a minute. Does anyone even work for the Space Force?
I do, like, but I'm not allowed to talk about it.
Do we have Space Force, is there Space Force personnel? Is there, like, a commanding officer of the Space Force?
Yes, actually.
It's Steve Carell.
do we have spaceships? Like, is there a USS, I don't know.
USSS.
I don't know. Is the United States Space? Jesus Christ! Space Force real in any? Like, is there even anyone to sell insurance to? Is my question.
Laugh now, Canada. Laugh now, but wait until our big giant fucking Imperial Star Cruiser flies over.
Why are you beating up on Canada?
I don't know what the fuck this is. I don't know. I hope we don't need it.
Okay, so currently, it seems to be just – the Space Force seems to be under the purview of the Air Force. Mm-hmm. So, like, you have the – because the commanding order is Commander-in-Chief, the President. You have the Secretary of Defense. You have the Secretary of the Air Force. But then there's also a Vice Chief of Space Operations – and a chief of space operations.
Why didn't they just put the Air Force in charge of space shit? Why did they need a new branch?
Well, because there's no air in space.
Oh my god!
You go down the ranks there, and it's like, you know, there's Imperial Wizard and Grand Wizard.
Grandma.
You know, that part's not real. Don't listen to Andy. That's
no. You know what? Greg has a point. They should have just said fuck it and named them after Star Wars ranks. Like name them after the Imperial Navy, like Grand Moff, whatever.
So literally, it's Chief of Space Operations, Vice Chief of Space Operations, Senior Enlisted Advisor of the Space Force, then like Director of Staff, Human Capital Officer, Chief Operations Officer, Intelligence Reconnaissance, Technology and Innovation Officers. They're still building it, essentially. You know?
Well,
they do have Space Operations Command, which is in at Pearson Air Force Base in Colorado.
A lot of good it's doing them there if it's for space. Come on.
And Space Operations Command West, which is in Vandenberg Air Force Base in California. So, again, all of these are Air Force bases.
Yeah, which just makes me – why is it – whatever.
Dude, check this out. So I'm totally looking at. Speaking of people in the government currently, I'm looking at Ku Klux Klan titles, and you know, for all the shit that the Klan deserves, they had some incredible names. Like, their ranks are amazing. So check this out. So
I want to step in for a second, and tell the FBI that this is all Andy's doing.
So. I mean, like, can you just imagine like this? These assholes inflating their titles to sound cool. So there's like a Grand Dragon, who was assisted by 8 Hydras, fucking Hydras, as well as a Grand Exchequer and Grand Scribe. Like, these, it feels like I'm a medieval castle. But then it gets better. So there's a Great Titan who was assisted by 6 Furies. 6 fucking Furies. And then if you go down a further rank, there's the Grand Giant, and this is my favorite, who is assisted by 4 fucking goblins. You could be a goblin.
You could be a goblin in the KKK?
Yes.
You should put that on the recruiting poster. Come on. Fucking asshole.
You could be a grand goblin. This is amazing. Like, I can't believe this is actually a real thing. Like, I got to find. Sorry.
As I'm looking through, there are two official, because all these other are space or Air Force bases. There are two official Space Force bases in the United States. You have Patrick Space Force Base, which is right next to Cape Canaveral Space Force Base in Florida. So that's what
I thought. That was a NASA thing. Like,
well, it is now. No, according to this Wikipedia article, that is surely to be true. Cape Canaveral Space Force Station, home of the
NASA lost their fucking thing. NASA lost. You can't take shit away from NASA. I'm mad.
NASA's still there, man. NASA should be running this whole thing, really. But I want a T-shirt from the Cape Canaveral Space Force base.
Yeah,
it's, that would look like I made it up and had somebody print it for me.
Or no, sorry, you're gonna have to like tell people like, no, it's real. Like,
right. I said there were two. There, the Cape Canaveral Space Force Station is part of the Patrick Space Force Base, which is just south of the Kennedy Space Center.
Yeah, I think it's a little Air Force base or something like down there. Yeah, that's
home of the 45th Space Wing.
What happened to the other 44?
Well, as far as I can tell, there's a 45th and a 30th, and I don't know where the rest of the numbers are.
Okay, well,
so
this all feels like a money laundering thing. Looking at this, I mean,
Trump created it, so
I mean, just the more you look at it, the more completely unnecessary and useless it is. Like, it doesn't. Like space, if you want to know what space is and useful things that people can do in Earth's orbit, is get trash. Because that's all that's in the inner orbit. It is surrounded by garbage.
It is like, you don't think about it, and there is a lot of space, for lack of a better word, out there. But like, you see these diagrams or these models that they show you just how many satellites are up there.
Oh, it's scary.
There is an enormous amount of just space garbage that is surrounding this planet.
Are you shocked, Zach, that we as a species went into a new frontier and immediately began dumping garbage everywhere, like we do everywhere we go?
I'm just amazed at, like, literally just how much is up there.
Yeah.
Maybe the diagrams make it seem more packed in than it is.
Because
it's like, how are these things not hitting each other? But like,
well, they often do. Okay, so slight tangent, but it is related. Has anyone here seen the movie Ad Asta?
No, but I want to. Is it any good?
It is very good. It is very good. So I'm not going to get too deep into the reads on it. But the general premise is basically we follow Brad Pitt as basically a Space Force astronaut. You know, they had come up with Guardians by lens, you know, when they made the movie. So whatever. But anyway, he is tasked on a super secret government mission to go into like the deep solar system, which in the movie's timeline is the furthest humans have gone. And at this point in the future, like, the moon has completely been colonized and there's like spaceports on the moon and you can go to the moon for vacation and whatever. So there's a scene where he's got to go to the moon to get like basically a connecting rocket, essentially. But so he lands at the spaceport on the moon, and no joke, there's an exterior shot of this like base on the moon. And there is a goddamn Applebee's.
Well, fuck yeah. You got to have somewhere to eat, man.
And I almost applauded in the theater because it's like, of course, if we actually, you know, set up a permanent colonized like base on the moon, of course there'd be an Applebee's. Why wouldn't there be an Applebee's?
And I'm sure there's probably a Walmart somewhere too.
Well, there was the two restaurants that you see in like the moon scenes are an Applebee's and a Subway. And it's just like, you know, there's something strangely comforting that in the future I could go to the moon and there'd be a Subway for me to get my chicken teriyaki.
There you go.
You know, that's the dream, I guess.
Space Force is always thinking about us civilians, Mike. That's why they're the Guardians.
Indeed.
Greg, go to the screen share I'm throwing up here. So the European Space Agency has two different animations for, like, just how much bullshit is surrounding the Earth. Now, that's one animation that kind of shows the larger area of this, how much trash is this floating around. And this, however, shows more detail of Earth, where that's the sky. Like, it's just a garbage heap surrounding us at all times. That's what the Space Force is proudly flying among, is just a bunch of shit just floating around doing nothing in outer space.
You want to know the really fun part about all that stuff? It's traveling around the planet like between 17 and 22,000 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it would go straight through you.
Yeah, I mean, the majority of it burns up in the atmosphere and stuff. And, I mean, it's just...
No, what I'm saying is, like, if you're out there, like, say, I don't know where the space station is in relation to all that, but if something got, I don't know, if an orbit changed or whatever, and, say, three or four pieces of whatever got loose, they can take the space station out in no time. Boom, that's it. It's over.
I mean, have you seen Gravity?
Gravity.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it.
Which is just, like, one of the more terrifying things I've ever seen, like, in a film. It's just like the idea of like, oh, I'm out in the space station. Oh, my God, the space station just got ripped to shreds. And I am now flying through space untethered.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, just to clarify.
People are afraid of being in open water. Could you imagine being open nothing?
Just to close with that, I mean, the second half of that movie is absolutely fucking ludicrous. Like, there's no fucking way.
Yeah, come on. She basically jumped out of the space station and landed in a fucking lake in China. Really? Come on now. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Anyway, worth watching. Good movie.
Although, if she had landed in Lake Michigan, it would have been arguably even worse because, you know, Lake Michigan.
That's a movie I'm very glad I saw in the movie theaters, but I don't think I would ever watch like.
Oh, could you imagine watching that movie on your phone?
No.
Just real quick, guys, before we go, alien hunters detect mysterious radio signal from nearby star. Ooh. Proxima Centauri has exoplanets, by the way.
Sorry, hold on.
So I'm just saying, you know, we got a radio signal, we got an exoplanet. It's our closest star system, and here we are.
So maybe we need somewhere to put our trash.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no, wouldn't that be great if we made contact with them and we're like, hey, we will contract you to haul this shit out of here? Like,
and then, the funnier thing would be, Mike, if they were calling us and going, hey, we got a bunch of this shit floating around our planet. Can you guys help us out?
It's like, no, this landfill's at capacity.
We both have the same problem, yeah.
I'm telling you, it's going to be the moon. Someday the moon's just going to be a dump heap. That's all it's going to be.
Well, yeah, the other side of it, we won't see it from here.
See, that's the perfect human, like, solution. It's like, oh, we'll just pile it on the dark side of the moon and we won't see it, so it'll be fine.
It'll look beautiful with the Applebee's and Subway and all the malls and shit on this side. The other side, the motherfucker's going to look like New Jersey, and that'll be it.
So, first off,
Does that mean that's where Tank's going to live on the moon? He'll live on the far side?
Oh, Jesus, while we're talking about him. See, this is where the basically part of the show comes in.
No, now I'm imagining like Tank on like a cyborg body that's still fat for some reason, like living on the far side of the moon.
I was on Twitter yesterday and I'm flipping through and all of a sudden I see Frank Fleming likes and it's this tweet. He's sitting, I guess, at some bar stool. I don't know what it is. There was like rows of nice chairs, like a theater seating thing, and the Dolphins had just scored a touchdown. So he's like, nail that, coffin shut, and he starts banging on the chair. Boom, boom. And it was like the most Tank thing I've ever seen. And I thought, this is such an act. That is not who this guy really is.
No, I mean, you know who Tank really is? Tank is the video that brought him to fame. That's who Tank
really is. Yeah, that's who Tank really is, yeah.
It's a disgrace.
But anyway, do we have anything else? We were really off the ground here.
Yeah. I'm leaving. After we're done here, I'm going to go finish season one of Mandalorian so I can plow into season two, baby. I'm catching up.
Good.
We got a lot to talk about.
I mean, well, I guess, question.
Yeah.
Did the internet ruin it for you this weekend?
Not yet. I mean, it's getting so close. We're getting so close.
You need to completely disconnect, man. You need to.
Yeah.
Especially
the way that they've operated this season is like, it premieres on Friday. Everyone tries to keep quiet through the weekend. And then Monday is when they're like, hey, look at this. This is the thing. And then you're kind of like, oh, so if
I almost edited some shit in the Star Wars TV thread because people were just like blurting it out. And I'm like,
I don't go in there. I mean, that's if I went in there, it'd be spoiled. So I'm staying out of that one for now. Yeah. But so far, so good. But thankfully, these episodes are real short. They're 34 minutes long, so it's easy to just binge. So hopefully, you know, before middle of the week, end of the week, I'll be
calm. Hey, you know what? If you can get through season two, Andy, next week we could do a Mandalorian show, you know?
Yeah.
We do Star Wars the holidays, so
So the other things to talk about, of course, the NBA season comes back tomorrow already.
Jesus, really?
Let's go Toronto Raptors of Tampa Bay.
Hey, Mike, we should go to a game when I come down to the Raptors.
We'll go see the Raptors play. There come on, it'll be
That's going to be odd. I don't know, like, if you're going to get into a spot where they're going to be allowing people into the building. Do the Raptors just
it's Florida.
It's Florida. There are no laws here. Like, the governor has basically gone YOLO as his COVID response. So
we can do whatever we want.
I would say let's do a cursory NBA preview, but really, it's a lot of the teams are the same as they were 5 months ago, you know, 3 months ago, however long it was now.
And, 2 weeks ago when the Lakers won? So, yeah.
When the Lakers won, and the fact that the Lakers added, like, some of the best free agent pieces they could have in the offseason, so they're probably better than they were last year. So, if the Lakers don't win, the whole season's a travesty, and I just want to be able to laugh at the Clippers again. So
look, basically, that's what the only thing I want out of this season is for the Clippers to flame out again.
You can count on that like the sunrise, man.
Because like this is their last guaranteed year of both Paul George and Leonard, right? So like,
yeah. Other big news in the NBA: Giannis signed a contract to stay with the Brewers, the Bucks.
Yeah.
So that's pretty wild.
Yeah, so he'll be there for a little bit. But.
And one last thing that we can leave on, maybe tease this for another time if we want to go into it deeper, but the end has occurred. The NHL has announced that teams will put ads on their helmets. So,
this is supposedly, this is just for – because yesterday they finally announced that, hey, we're going to pick – we finally picked a start date. So 23 days until hockey. That's fun. January 13th, if you can't count. They say this is only for this season because of the fact that they're not going to have fans in the stands and the Canadian teams all have to be sequestered into their own division above the border. So we'll see if it is truly just for this year or if it's something that...
No, it's not. It's going to stick around.
Once you cross that line, you don't go back.
You're going to ring the bell.
Yeah,
I'm with Mike. I think that we all pool our money and buy a helmet sticker for the Coyotes.
Yeah, like look, this is legitimately put a damper on my day today because, like, hockey's my favorite sport, and hockey uniforms were what, you know, got me into being a uniform nerd. Right? Yeah. It's like I love hockey uniforms, and it's like. I guess we all knew this was coming, but for it to finally happen, I'm feeling very bummed out about it.
I'm okay with it because it's just the helmets.
For now.
I think of all the major sports in America, hockey will be the last one to let – like you think the Montreal Canadiens are going to be like this perfect thing? You want us to put a Bell logo on the front of it? No.
I mean – I sincerely hope you're right, but the only solace, as you know, Greg alluded to, my only solace in all of this is that because it's the NHL, if we all pooled our money, we could probably get a Bass logo on the Arizona Coyotes helmet.
How fucking hilarious would that be?
A Bass logo presented by Tostitos presents right, the Arizona Coyotes.
We should get in touch with them and see if they'll do like a joint venture with us.
It's like, you know what? We will fly out there for the announcement, for the ceremony, for the unveiling. We just want to meet the Glendale City Council.
Anyway, guys, let's save some of that for next week. Anything else, or should we call it a night?
I think we're good.
Have a good holiday Christmas stuff.
Yeah.
And let me be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas Merry Christmas to you three and
happy Hanukkah, Mike.
Thank you.
Hanukkah
ended 3 days ago. Yeah.
Okay.
We're good.
Well.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. I was thinking. All right. Yeah. I was thinking from the last show, but the last show was a week ago, so that would have been 7 days. Not. Yeah. So have a Merry Christmas, everyone, or a Happy Hanukkah. I guess belated for those of you that celebrate Hanukkah and.
Happy Kwanzaa, happy winter solstice for all you pagan peeps and all
happy
the
holidays.
and a generous what was the Muslim one? Eid.
A generous Eid.
Yeah, I don't know that one.
We've got 1 week of this bullshit year left. Let's finish it up.
Yeah. God damn it. I just yeah.
I know I've been hell on all you guys tonight out there listening. Please don't do what I did last year where I said I can't fucking wait for 2019 to be over because it can't possibly be any worse.
Yeah. No, if it's like, oh, I'm looking forward to – no, we're – nope. You know what? Don't even have Happy New Year parties. We're just going to
– no. Okay, that's that. Let's move forward.
Yeah, you know what? Ideally pass out drunk at 11:45 and wake up at 3 and just – that'll be it. Yeah.
Don't even get drunk for it. Don't watch the ball drop. Don't do any of that.
And I'm going to make judgment on whether or not to say Happy New Year. I'll wait till March or so and see where we're at. And go, oh, okay, maybe.
Let's hold on.
Yeah.
What do you say instead of Happy New Year? Just like, oh, it is New Year.
Like, fuck, there's one. Let's hope this one isn't as bad. I don't know how you do it.
It's the same way when you greet somebody instead of saying, say, hey, morning.
It is a new year. That's good enough.
It is a new year.
Yeah.
We're not going to say it's going to be better or worse. It just is what it is. All right, kids. On that note, we're going to call it a night. Follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports. Subscribe via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, YouTube, and wherever else fine podcasting is sold. Have a great, wonderful Merry Christmas, and we will talk to you all next week.
Adios.